Welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, the podcast featuring creative entrepreneurs in the Basel area over the best cups of coffee in the best cafes. Charlotte comes from Paris and has been living in Basel for 14 years already. Her background is in communication and event management, but always knew somehow that she would transition towards coaching at some point. So today, she is an intuition coach, helps people reconnect with their true desire and guides them in a very reliable and fast way towards their goals. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Ophélie.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm actually happy and relaxed.
Great. Let's start. What does a regular day look like for you?
A regular day? Since I started my own company, I have to say that I don't have a regular day, and that's the beauty out of it. I can tell you working regularly week, if you like.
Sure.
So usually I go 3 to 4 times to the office per week, 3 or 4 days, sorry. I have like a couple of sessions a day, a coaching session with a coach, as you know. And what is very important for me is to also have some breaks in between. I love to do Pilates, and I have 3 kids, so obviously my days are also spent with them. That's what I want. And then in the evening spend quality time with my husband. Very classic, but
very important.
But very important, yeah.
So indeed. How do you manage this work-life balance, as we say?
Well, my tendency is to do a lot. A very good friend of mine keeps saying that I bite more than I can chew. So that's my tendency. I'm kind of born with it. I think both my parents are like that. That's why, I put the bar quite high.
Yeah.
But it came to a price more than 5 years ago, and that taught me a lot. And I'm so happy about that. When my job was made redundant, high-level person with whom I got along well was surprised, but then told me quite fast that it was actually a great present for me. And I was like, what? And I so understand what he meant, because indeed it allowed me to, first of all, do even more what I'm supposed to do, what I love to do, and secondly, to handle this hyperactive tendency of mine with other tendency that I discovered and value more, which is to take more, invest more in myself. So it took me some time because I worked crazy the first couple of years, but now on Tuesday and sometimes even on Thursday, my Pilates is mandatory. Refuse some clients meeting because of this, for instance.
That's great. Yeah, that's self-care already, right there.
Yeah, it's some kind of self-care, and also something important. Even if this tendency comes back, because it does come back, the main difference is that I'm way more aware of it.
Yes.
I look at it. I don't judge it, which is such a big learning. I don't judge this tendency. I see it coming more, faster. And sometimes I say, hi, I see you, tendency. I agree with you for today and tomorrow, but then I'm going to have to say goodbye for a moment. So it's being more at peace with myself and accepting also this tendency that
keeps coming back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't radically change. I just adjust myself.
Yeah, great. So you have the tendency to do, and that's why it's really easy for you to prioritize work then, as I understand. Or you work on it, but you have this tendency to
prioritize work. Not only work, prioritize the things that really matter to me.
Okay.
And that's how also intuition helps me to prioritize. I can, because I got to know better my intuitive process, my how my intuition works, it helps me to, when I was talking about being more aware of those red flags, of those this hyperactive tendency, my intuition definitely helps me because it guides me towards my priorities. And so it's not about doing everything, but it's selecting, thanks sometimes to my intuition, what really matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
So my intuition guides me.
And how do you know that? How do you know the things that really matter to you?
It's a long process. It requires patience and training. But it's the best investment one can do in your life. At least it was for me, and that's oftentimes the feedback of my clients. I can tell you how it works for me. Maybe it works for others, but the most important is that it's a personal. The intuition process is individual.
It's very, yeah.
So I can give you some tips, but it might not be the right one for you. First of all, awareness. So if I'm in this doer mode,
mm-hmm.
I give myself some time to breathe,
mm-hmm.
to look, to observe,
mm-hmm.
to pose.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I have different scenario in front of me mm-hmm. and I need to choose, one intuitive tool I use is to visualize myself in each of them. And obviously it's easier when you are guided. But the simple fact of visualizing yourself in one of those scenario mm-hmm. gives you some hints, some precious hints on how it is for you to go in this scenario. You are basically, it's called the body intelligence. Your body, as soon as you visualize yourself in one of the scenario, tells you if it's the right one for you, if it's the one for you at that moment or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not tell you the whole thing, but it gives you hints, which are so valuable. In addition to this, of course, you need to add the rational mindset to proceed. It's not about being only intuitive. But what I'm saying is that we have two hands, we have two hemispheres, mm-hmm. and it's oftentimes a pity because in the corporate world we're living in, the rational mindset is privileged, is stimulated, is rewarded, and great because it brings us so many mm-hmm. great things. But we have also in the right hemisphere the intuition capacity to help us to proceed in life. And what a pity, and I was going to say even what a waste, and I hate waste, not to use this resource and not to combine it with a rational one.
Mm-hmm. So in your body, for example, do you feel expansive or contracted? Is it that feeling, if something feels good, or if your intuition tells you that it's the right thing to do, do you feel open in your body?
Yeah.
And if it's the wrong thing, you feel contracted?
Mm-hmm. So this is a typical characteristic of a fear and an intuition. So contraction could be a fear or an intuition that guides you towards something where you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I have those sometimes. Personally, I have more the what I call the positive intuition, the intuition guiding you towards where you want to go. So when it's a case, my body reacts in a way where the first word is fluidity. It nearly feels mm-hmm. like my blood is circulating
wow.
everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, it's a bit exaggerated, but
It feels really good.
It's a glimpse of that, yes.
Yeah.
Fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's indeed openness. And there is a feeling of, yeah, that's That's obvious. Mm-hmm. In French, it's une évidence. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm supposed to go. That what makes me happy, that makes me fulfilled. That's the direction I want to go. And then it gives me the confidence to get there. Mm-hmm. So that's in a nutshell. Then it would take more time. But in a nutshell, that's what I can give so far.
Yeah, great. You are from France. You now live in Basel. Do you want to share a little bit about your story getting here?
Sure. So yeah, I'm originally from Paris. So I was very sad a few days ago with Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I started my career there in communications, mm-hmm. event managing and management and communications. I moved then to Stanford, to San Francisco, for a couple of years to study at to join my future husband and study mm-hmm. there as well, and that's actually where I thought I would already transition to coaching.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So 16 years ago. But I didn't. And then we moved to Basel early 2005, mm-hmm. And I found a job in communications mm-hmm. here, where I stayed for 8 years, which was great, which brought me a lot, mm-hmm. which also developed more thoroughly my rational mindset. And which really helped me to understand better, because I used to work in advertising or communication agency.
Yeah.
And my work at DSM mm-hmm. in Kaiserhaus, so the vitamin, one of the vitamin leader, really helped me to understand better how it works in a company, mm-hmm. in such a large company. Mm-hmm. And so in 2014, early 2014, my job was made redundant. Mm-hmm. And it came really as a surprise, because no one from communication was supposed to be targeted
yep.
during this redundancy. And if it was, I would be the last one to go, because I was, to quote my boss at the time, the best element of the team. But only one person was targeted. Jobs was made redundant. It was mine.
Wow.
So it came really as a surprise. But the very same night, I told my husband, you know what? It's a time for me to move.
Yeah.
And to do what I liked communications, and, you know, I was somehow fulfilled. But coaching and intuition and working as an entrepreneur, having yeah. my own company, yeah. I would never go back.
Yeah.
I don't think so, at least for now.
That helped you. Yeah. And throughout those 8 years, or even since you studied in San Francisco, was the coaching at the back of your mind? Or did you forget that at some point completely? Or
I think I practiced without being really aware of it. A lot of people told me, a lot of people, when they had issues, mm-hmm. turned towards me. Whether it's professionally or personally or within my family too, I was always the one who people would talk to. So sometimes it was a bit
overwhelming.
You know, I knew for more than a year alone in my family that my sister was she did her coming out to me first, and so it was a bit heavy to carry for more than a year. Mm. That's an example among yeah. others. to answer your question, it's not something that I was craving every day about.
Yeah.
Because I was in this mode where, okay, I have my 3 kids, I have my job,
yeah.
I have my house, my great husband. We have a pretty, you know, great life. But doer, 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 and not doing exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
But it took some time for me to realize. And indeed, when my job was made redundant, it was such a great present.
Yeah.
Because afterwards, I signed up quite fast for this year at HEC in Paris to study mm-hmm. executive coaching, mm-hmm. and which that helped me to understand better what was happening to me and what I wanted. That also was the opportunity for me to discover further my interest for intuition mm-hmm. and develop it, and then start my own business.
And when did this interest for intuition first came? Where does it come? Did it come in childhood already, teenagehood, or much later?
I think I everyone is intuitive. I think mm-hmm. I was intuitive. I was not necessarily aware of it, mm-hmm. but I always said I don't believe. I don't necessarily believe in God, but I believe more in my lucky star.
Okay.
So that maybe that's what was my intuition at that time. But with all the research, all the interviews, all the experience I made around intuition, the result is that I'm way more aware and equipped to develop it for myself more consciously and to accompany my clients to do mm-hmm. so for themselves. So when you asked me when it got triggered...
Yeah, when you noticed.
Yeah. So afterwards I married a Norwegian chemist... And I worked for 8 years in a very rational yeah. corporate world. Yeah. And that's what very much triggered my developed my rational mindset. Mm-hmm. And after my job was made redundant, I could reconnect more myself mm-hmm. with myself. I remember at HEC we had a talk about intuition that really triggered something with me. Mm-hmm. And then there were some episodes in my life where intuition just proved itself to be so efficient that
no going
it
back.
Was as a rational. I'm actually slightly more rational than intuitive on my ATI, but that's maybe I needed those proof. Mm-hmm. To make me understand how intuition is so valuable.
Yeah.
And the best investment you can do in your life.
So cool. What did you dream of doing when you were a kid? Do you remember that?
Yes, I. It came to my mind actually when Edith was supposed to make a video of mm-hmm. of my work. I remember that... quand j'étais en troisième, so I was like... 14 years old. You know, they have those conseillères d'orientation.
Yeah, yeah. Who suck, by the way.
And I had like a questionnaire to fill in. And I found it not so long ago. And on that questionnaire, I answered, je veux aider les gens à trouver leur chemin.
Wow, ouais. That's crazy.
So I want to help people. I want to help people, not accompany what I say today, but I want to help yeah. people finding their path.
Wow. Right. At 14, that's right. crazy. Right. That was before the whole coaching yeah. and yeah. find your purpose stuff,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. Wow. And so when... but I got to know that I wanted to work in events and communication when I was maybe 16, 18, something mm-hmm. like this. And a part of myself, and I knew that I always say that 90% of me wants to do that. Mm-hmm. 10% of me wants to do psychology.
Oh, yeah.
But my grandfather was a quite famous psychoanalyst. And I saw him struggling doing the difference with his patients and his family. And that's one of the reasons why I definitely choose communication, because I didn't want to do the same as he did. No offense to him, of course, but and I'm so glad I went for coaching and not psychology, because
yeah.
this is more pragmatic for me. Mm-hmm. And one of my key values is the autonomy of my of my clients. I really privilege the autonomy of my clients. So I, so it's their decision, their choice. Yeah. I'm just here to guide them.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very careful on not mixing.
Yeah, telling them what to do.
I'm not telling them what to do. I don't want. I hate it. I don't want it because for me, it's not. It could be imposed to them, and it's way more valuable and easy to adopt in terms of change. To, as a client, to find what you need, what you want to do, not you need or have to do, what mm-hmm. you want to do. Mm-hmm. So my role as a coach specialized in intuition mm-hmm. is to accompany my client to go and get mm-hmm. what they want to do. So really go and get there. Remove whatever blocks you on the mm-hmm. way. Fears, we talked about mm-hmm. that earlier. But go deep, allow yourself to go deep to your desire and reconnect with your desire. That's what I meant with reconnecting myself. Mm-hmm. I reconnect with my desire.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, and it takes some time, a little bit of time, but once you do that, automatically some of your fears will not be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not wow. all, it's not magic, yeah. but some of your fears will diminish or disappear. And the fact that you reconnect yourself to your, or connect yourself to your desire, or reconnect, has already an impact on your self-confidence and on the clarity you have with yourself. Afterwards comes, so that's a desirability phase. Afterwards comes a feasibility phase. So it's way more pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I use a tool for them to, once they know where they want to go, how are they going to get
mm-hmm.
there? And that's also such a great session. It's a 3-hour session. It's a double session.
Wow.
Usually the sessions are 90 minutes. But that's amazing. And, and the last part of my methodology is a communication. So once I know what I want to do and how do I want to get there,
yeah.
How, and so I did this internal communication with myself, mm-hmm. with Charlotte's help. How now do I communicate before being in this desired situation?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I have 6 months, 12, 24 months mm-hmm. before I get there. How do I communicate?
Mm-hmm.
So if I look for a job, how do I communicate on my CV, on my cover letter, with my elevator pitch, and so on?
Do you also give like website advices or things like that?
I give some. I never give advice. I accompany my client to make his own story
mm-hmm.
or her own story,
mm-hmm.
and to write it down
mm-hmm.
in an authentic and professional way. So
nice.
Yeah.
Sign up with Charlotte for coaching.
Yeah. No. The most important is when people feel. Feel more or less ready, maybe like 70% ready,
mm.
because they hear something is calling them
yeah.
since a while, and at some point they want to move forward, but they don't necessarily know how. And my role as a coach is to accompany them to go faster and in a more reliable way to what they really want to do in their life.
Nice.
But it's not for everyone
yeah.
all the time. So thanks for your advertisement, but really I don't push. I don't want to push.
Yeah.
It's really when they are ready, and I'm always happy to meet them for half an hour or 45 minutes to check if the chemistry works,
mm-hmm.
if they want to work with me, and if
mm-hmm.
I want to work with them,
mm-hmm.
it goes in both ways, and then we take it from there.
Mm-hmm. So you do coaching right now, speaking events also. And do you have anything going on right now? Anything you want to do in the future?
So at the moment, I do executive coaching with Coincidence, which is
mm-hmm.
the name of my company. And I'm really happy about that. I don't wish to develop myself further with Coincidence. I think if I can maintain my rhythm, that's already great. That's number one. Number two is I do indeed some intuition workshops or conferences for some companies, you know, big like Novartis, 400 people to a smaller group. I love to do those public workshop where people don't know each other. It's 15
mm.
people or
mm-hmm.
something like this. And together we do an introduction on on intuition for 2 hours. And sometimes I go. I do also some conferences for public for business schools mm-hmm. or associations. And then the third pillar of my activities is for now a pro bono project. You were asking me earlier before you start the interview where I would put my money if mm-hmm. I had some, and that would definitely be in this direction. It's a project to allow a lot of people, not necessarily the ones with who can afford a coaching or mm-hmm. workshop, but also like really a wide variety of people to understand better what is intuition mm-hmm. and make it more accessible so that they can benefit more from mm-hmm. it. And you asked me where I'm going
future,
to develop.
Yeah.
So as I said, I wish to maintain and not develop further coincidence mm-hmm. at the moment. As an evidence, as an obvious thing, I actually partnered a few weeks ago, it's very new, with a HR and legal friend and colleague. And we are now starting a GmbH called mm-hmm. Anisha. Her name is Anissa and my name is Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And we realized, as a coincidence, as an intuition, that Anisha means the law of change. And we basically, with her legal and HR background and my executive coaching skills, accompany individual to manage, to maneuver in those sometimes very difficult changes, whether mm-hmm. they are burnouts or sickness mm-hmm. or restructuring, redundancy, conflicts. Mm-hmm. And we are official since a couple of weeks, but we have already lots of clients, so we go step by step. And but it's really great to collaborate with Anissa, and it's actually she really helped me when I left DSM, and I helped her on another topic at some point. And we both say that we would have loved to have the service we provide mm-hmm. now when we had some kind of difficulties like we had, and the clients we had so far asked us if they could recommend us to many of their colleagues or friends mm-hmm. because it's a service that doesn't really exist like that for mm-hmm. now.
Great, thanks. So you just answered the question, what you would do with more money if you had more money. Anything else on a more personal level?
Yes, I would buy a secondary house, like not big, mm-hmm. just for my husband and our 3 kids to go on a weekend in Les Vosges or Alsace or that's on this in a year. And
in nature, somewhere in nature.
Yeah. Easy, mm-hmm. just easy. Not
close to here.
Yeah, like an hour or an hour and a half, mm-hmm. 2 hours max. Mm-hmm. It's just to be able to, because we... I love our house here, it's great and mm-hmm. so on, but just to be just the 5 of us. Last summer we went on a road trip in the US and it was amazing to be just the 5 of us.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. And anything else you would do with more time?
Of course, I would invite some friends and family sometimes.
Sometimes.
but say again.
And same question with more time. Is there anything you don't have time for?
Yes. Before I die, I really want to make all my album, my picture album. This is so, so dear to me, which brings so much mm-hmm. joy to me. And I really want to make a great album for each of my kids and to continue ours. I do that only during Christmas holidays when I'm away. And it fulfills me crazy, and I want to create time to do it on a more regular base.
Yeah.
Basis.
So
yeah.
The paper one. Old school.
I'm still old school. Maybe I'm gonna go to digital, to at least digital one, but anyway, do my, whether it's digital or old school, continue to do them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Because it's just when we were talking about observation and awareness,
yeah.
it just makes me prioritize and privilege and value so much all the amazing things I have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. All those pictures. I mean, it's, yeah. You know, that's what remains. It's, yeah. Right.
So,
ooh, I'm getting emotional.
If you would, that's not written here, but if you would take only one suitcase somewhere.
Pictures.
It would be that, huh?
Yeah. I know people would say books and stuff like this, but me, it's pictures.
Yeah, right. Great.
And a pen. And a paper.
I would take my journals that I've been writing since 10 years. Yeah,
that's a good one.
So, apart from making your photo albums, what is your favorite thing to do on your time off?
Hike.
Yeah.
Hike with my husband, hike with my friends, and more with my kids, even if
they don't like it.
Favorite day. But hiking in nature, hiking, seeing this beautiful country we are living in, and others hiking. And that's mostly with people, sometimes alone, but mostly with people. What I love to do alone is swimming. I love swimming. This is my meditation moment. And I love dancing.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dance? Doesn't matter.
Dancing with dear friends of mine, Leticia and other people. But I love dancing. It's just a way for me to woo!
Yeah. To release and open up and...
And have fun.
And have fun. Yeah. Great. So that's your self-care. Dancing, be in nature, and swim.
Genau.
And so it doesn't have to be
and
by
alone
yourself.
With my family and with friends.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. What did you learn on your journey to entrepreneurship? Yeah, we switched topics a little bit, sorry.
I don't know. To really listen to your intuition and to give space for it to come.
Yeah.
I was telling you that I was studying executive coaching, and at the same time I was looking for a job in communications because we used to earn the same money with my husband, and we have three kids, so it's expensive. And and I just thought, okay, I'm going to go 50-50, 50 com, 50 coaching, the time to... And you know this example. I finally found the perfect job, ticking every box, rationally amazing. And then I listened to my intuition because it was so loud that day where I didn't sign the contract.
Mm.
Listen to your intuition and combine it with your rational, of course.
Yeah.
But listen to it. Oftentimes, if you were seeing my hands now, the left one with the rational mindset would go on the right one and make it suffocate. And what a pity. So when I say leaving some space for your intuition to come, so that afterwards you can hear what it tells you, because it somehow already knows, like Steve Jobs is saying, what you truly want to become. He says in his speech at Stanford in 2005, have the courage to listen to your heart and to your intuition, because they somehow already know, like before yourself, what you truly want to become. So that's what I would
recommend,
and then step by step, step by step.
And trust.
I had no clue when I started my company that I would do workshops on intuition. I had no clue about it. I was such a I hated public speaking.
Oh, really?
Really.
Interesting.
I hated this. I didn't feel comfy at all.
Yeah.
I was a deputy of a head of comms. I was making sure that everybody was on stage, but I was very seldom taking, you know, speaking in public. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
So going step by step, because...
You never know.
Yeah, once you find your passion and once you give your time to feed it,
then
you can do things you were not really considering before.
Great. And if you could write a note to your younger self in only two words...
Sorry, I'm going to ask something else. Be honest with yourself. be honest with yourself. For any entrepreneur or anyone, be as honest as you can with yourself. And sometimes it's hard alone.
Yeah.
And that's why a book or a coach or a trip can help to be, you were talking about knowing yourself.
Yeah.
It's hard to know yourself.
So before the podcast, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It's hard to know yourself, but it's such a great journey to do. And one way to do it is, the most efficient way to do it is to be honest with yourself. So when I was telling you that, yeah, we were earning a lot of money when I was working corporate, mm-hmm. I was unconsciously probably not so honest with myself,
mm-hmm.
by thinking that it was the way to go and the mm-hmm. way to do mm-hmm. it, that I had to do it. And by being more step-by-step honest with myself, mm-hmm. with the help of a coach as well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. I mean, I'm sorry. it helped me to be way more honest with myself,
mm-hmm.
and then to go towards where I want to go.
So and know what's really important for you. Is that what you mean by honest?
Yeah, because like this amazing job I didn't sign for.
Yeah.
I was honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been so easier to go and get the high salary and responsibility and,
yeah.
you know, that's what so many people would probably go for because they're not necessarily honest with themselves.
Yeah.
Although they can. It's not because you accept a job that you're not honest with yourself. But at least in my case, it would have not be. I would not have been honest with myself had I had chosen this job. And mm-hmm. it's not that I would have died or anything like this. It's just that it would have probably postponed what I truly want to do and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What I'm doing now.
You would not have gone fully into your coaching practice right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Thank you. Two words to your younger self, if you could write a note to yourself.
Two words.
And
don't
it can
worry
be
and be happy.
Yeah. Great. Trust. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love
and
that.
Continue to be happy.
Any tips for people wanting to start their own business?
To summarize, allow yourself to hear and follow your intuition step by step. And the third thing is be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And if you can't alone, find some help, find a book, find a coach. There are different ways. You can find the ways that suits you the best.
Yeah. Thanks. What is the definition of work for you? What does work mean for you?
Being fulfilled and useful and enjoy it.
Nice. Great. I have a question I don't usually ask, but it's from the menu of conversation from the Agora Festival that happened in Basel last month. And it's, if you would write a book about your life, your life story, what would the title be? By the way, I asked that question for Easter. It's a great kind of question to ask your family.
So I'm not such a writer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the third working project I'm doing is not a book. the title, I'm not sure. The topic, of course, it would obviously be on intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So something like discover further your intuition mm-hmm. to. Oh, if it was about my life.
Yeah.
So on my.
Your story.
Yeah, my path towards intuition or something like this.
Or
I don't know.
My move to Basel or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, or my journey with my intuition or something like this. Mm. Intuition would definitely be one of the topics I would write a book or create something about. And there is something else another topic that really resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, in French, you say la transmission. So mm-hmm. basically, what you're passing on to not only your kids as an inheritance,
mm-hmm.
but what you want to live when you, after you die, for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
This I've, and it's not only beautiful pictures or paintings or furnitures or silver or whatever, you know, not only materialistically, but
what you learned.
Yeah.
But no book is coming up.
No,
sadly,
book is not my channel for now. I don't read it much, and I receive and give information way more powerfully through workshops, one-to-one, face-to-face, or even audio. But reading only is, I mean, of course I read, but it's not my first channel of communication.
Audiobooks?
I'm getting there.
Podcast?
Podcast, yes. Of course.
Thanks. So before the podcast, we talked about a few things that I think should be recorded, because they were so cool already. Yeah. So you said you described a way of receiving an intuition, or just before you received that intuition, how does it feel?
So you were talking about, to repeat the short discussion we had prior.
Yeah, it was great.
You asked me how was my husband, because my husband has a disease, an auto-inflammatory disease. And I said, well, he's not getting better, but he handles it better. And then you said, what did you say? You said,
does he realize that he could write his story?
Yeah. And I answered something... yes, he does.
Yeah.
Hopefully a lot of people do. Step by step, he... Maybe I don't want to use only him as an example, but what I find important in life is that, as you said also, it's about accepting, because you have this back heck that you were talking about. So accepting that we have some obstacles on the way to where we want to go, whether it's a backache or it's an auto-inflammatory disease or some fears or some limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And once you accept it, without being fatalist about it, but accepting it, plus if you add to this acceptance factor, another factor which is to be to work with proactivity on what really drives you, and if you combine both this working proactively on what drives you plus this acceptance on what is on your way, you just go faster to and more in a more fun and fulfilling way. To where you're supposed to go in life. And that I find really, really interesting. And to answer your other question about how my body anticipates intuition. So again, it's a really long process, because that happened in last October, and it's more than 4 years that I work consciously and more proactively on my intuition development. So my intuition guides me a lot towards where I want to go, and sometimes indicates also where I don't want to go. For the last 4 years, for 5 years, I am more able to receive my intuition when it comes. Because I should have started with it. The definition of intuition is your capacity of capturing a relevant and exclusive piece of information without reasoning. Okay, as soon as you start to reason, to deduct, it's not an intuition.
Yeah.
So thanks to the work I did, the research, the interviews, and so on, I'm more able now, and it's a lifelong process, but for now I'm already more able to capture those relevant piece of information that comes to me. And that's already great. And what I discovered last October, for instance, while I was hiking with my husband, is that sometimes, and it's not working all the time, huh? But sometimes...
Unfortunately.
It doesn't matter because you accept but then you know when it works.
Yeah.
You know, and you're way more confident, and that's really important. So when I was hiking in the Swiss mountains with my husband, I also, in addition of being more able to capture those intuition when they come, in addition to this, I was able to anticipate or feel when it was coming. It's a little bit like as an orgasm. You feel when it's going to come. And so we were walking, and I could perceive in my body. So it was again this fluidity. Mm-hmm. This, you know, you know something great is going to come.
Yeah.
And so I could already prepare the
so
setting.
Great.
That's why, you know, I kept talking about his story, and we sat down and we created the moment to live and enjoy better that intuition that actually came at that point, at that very moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an amazing view.
Mm-hmm.
And we could anchor it better.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to this anticipation, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, I really wanted to have that on the podcast.
I took a picture.
Last question. Where can we find you online?
Say again?
Where can we find you online?
Where can we find me online? Coincidence.ch.
Mm-hmm.
Co hafen.
Mm-hmm.
Incidence, INC. You know, coincidence.ch.
I'll write it down.
Find it. That's where you can find me.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Charlotte.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Ophelia. And great job. I think what you're doing is a great milestone for you to find your own story. And well done for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.